Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Sister Saved in Christ. I'm your host Jasmine.
And I'm your host Kara.
And today we're going to be talking about forgiveness, especially when facing betrayal. I also just want to let you know, today is going to be very scripture heavy, but we're going to explain it, so it's not going to be like a whole lecture. I think whenever we're talking about these topics, it's important to include God's word and understand what he's actually telling us in the Bible, so we know what to really go off of instead of just listening to what other people are saying.
And that way we're not like twisting our own perception of forgiveness and how to get over betrayal, because that's not the point of this podcast. The point of this podcast is specifically about our journey with Christ, and so we just want to make sure that we're correctly basing it off of his word and his instruction only.
Yeah. So if you want to start, do you want to start?
Yeah, I do actually have a really good verse that I think is really good to preface the episode. And so it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, and humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you will be called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I think this is a really good verse to start off with, because it's specifically God's instruction to us and how we should treat people while here on earth. And I think that I really appreciate when he speaks of gentleness, kindness, humility, because he's showing us the qualities to have as people, and it helps to be a reminder of how we should treat people daily, on a daily basis. And I just think that it's something really good to go off of.
I also think it's important, whenever we're going through all this stuff, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all of that, they've put examples in the Bible for us to follow. So if you think, oh, I can only look at the Bible if I want to be, like, patient or something, no, there's literally something for every single scenario. Mm-hmm. You just have to read. You just have to accept his word into your life. So when we say forgive each other, we're not just saying that because we want to be nice people. We're saying that because we're trying to be people of God, like children of God, and follow his example. So that's really the whole message of today. I mean, honestly, we could just end the episode there. We'll see you guys next week.
It's really, like, clear and concise, but we just want to break it down a little bit more on why we should be so generous with forgiving others. And we just need to think of it from the lens that God gives us mercy, grace, and forgiveness every single day. Mm-hmm. Even though we may not be intentional with our sins, and that we do try to live directly with his word, sometimes it's hard, and sometimes we're gonna fall short to glorifying his name. Like, it just happens, because we're sinners to our core. And honestly, in every single episode, we're going to touch on that, because it's true. And we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Like, we need to be real with that, because that's the reality that we live in.
Yeah. And everybody, and that goes for pastors, us, and literally everybody, the Pharisees, everybody's a sinner. The only person who ever walked this earth and lived a sinless life is Jesus. And that's why he's our example. That's why it's so heavy, I think, to start with the Gospels when you're becoming new in your faith, because he lays it out. He lived that sinless life. That's the whole core of the people we're trying to be as a follower of him. So to start with the Gospels and to use Gospels in your daily life is important.
I started with the Gospels whenever I started out reading the Bible, and it was so helpful. Looking back now, because I'm in the book of Genesis now, and it's confusing even after I started with the Gospels, but I will admit that the Gospels made it easier.
And I also think the Gospels, they're so, like, heavy in examples and everything, that when you do get to, like, the Old Testament and get through, like, right now I'm in Numbers, and y'all, Leviticus and Numbers, it's hard to get through those books. It's just laws. Like, it's a lot of just laws and things to follow. So when you read the Gospels first, it helps you push towards pushing through the rest of the Bible, because you already had that foundation and you already have that passion to learn more. But if you start straight from the beginning, you're gonna be like, this is tough, like, this is boring. And I also want, speaking of the Gospels, I want to read a verse from Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. And it's about Jesus talking about the laws that Moses has told us, that the Lord spoke to him. And, you know, the Pharisees were living by the Old Testament, by the laws of Moses, or the laws of the Lord back then. But Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Which is saying, like, it's not saying, oh, let them keep slapping your face. Like, that's, he speaks in parables.
Yeah.
He's saying, when someone insults you, let them. When someone comes to you with bad intentions, let them. That's not saying let people walk all over you. That's just saying, be a bigger person, take it with a grain of salt, and don't return it. So it's not an eye for an eye. Don't lie to someone and deceive them and make their life miserable just because they did that to you. Be the bigger person, learn from it, heal from it, and show them that kindness. Because sometimes when bullies and stuff are shown that kindness and they so say kill them with kindness, it works.
It changes them.
It makes them look at themselves like, wow, like, I did that. Like, I was really that person. So you're changing one person at a time. And I don't know, literally just bring kindness.
I love that you brought up that scripture, because we shouldn't be so focused on revenge, because we need to be working on giving each other grace. And although, like, I'll admit, like, sometimes it can be really hard to be the bigger person and show that person grace, but it's necessary. And it's not for them. Forgiving mm-hmm. people is not for the other person. It's for you, and specifically your relationship with Christ. It has nothing to do with them. Because, you know, sometimes, like, if you haven't spoken to this person in years, they don't even know that you've forgiven them. And it's not something that is meant to be, like, declared to everybody, because it's not something that is performative and for you to look like the bigger person or look like, you know, you're unbothered and that nothing affects you. No, it's for you and your relationship with God specifically. And I think that we just need to focus on giving grace to people in situations, even if it's unworthy, you know, in our eyes.
And giving people that forgiveness and grace, don't think of it as an act that brings you closer to heaven. And don't think that just because you gave someone grace that it brings them closer to that either. It's not. It's physical. It's for our physical, mental well-being. It's giving that person closure. Giving yourself closure, too. Sometimes you just need to forgive someone to have that closure. But that's just a bridge. That's just a bridge to help them find grace and find something to root their faith in. And same for you. You're not forgiving people and doing all these nice things to get closer to heaven. You're getting closer to heaven just for accepting Jesus in your life. But accepting grace and living with grace and having that faith, that's what helps you live a good physical human life here before eternity.
You shouldn't be doing those things and, like, thinking of, like, the mindset, oh, what am I gonna reap of this? You know, like, what fruit will I bear from performing this act? That's not the correct way to think of it.
Yeah.
If you think about it, carrying grudges does nothing to benefit us.
No.
All it does is harden our heart, and it makes us wake up feeling a lot of pressure on our chest most of the time. Like, we have all felt that. Like, anxiety, that anger, that bitterness. And I actually, hold on, I feel like that's a perfect way to say this scripture as well. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. Mm-hmm. And we just need to stop being so quick to be angry with each other, because pride will be our biggest downfall if we let it.
Yeah.
And that's the cold hard truth. Like, we all in one point of our lives is going to have a lot of pride, and we need to get comfortable with surrendering that over to God, because if we hold on to that, it will be a downfall for us. We have to let it go. I feel like there's a big misconception of what you're allowed to surrender to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people think that it's too small, too big, too little. Surrender everything.
Your wounds are never too great.
Surrender everything. Because what is holding on to it doing for you? What is it? It's doing nothing. Let it go. Because God already knows your situation that you're in. He knows what's going to happen in the future for you. He knows your entire plan. He knew your name before you were even born. And you're over here debating on whether holding on to this is better for you. Let it go. It's doing nothing to benefit you. It's not making you a better person. It's not making you closer in your relationship with God. So surrender it over to Him and He will deal with it for you.
And I think whenever you're praying, like, if you pray, like, God, give me patience, or God, you know, give me this, this, and this, He's not just giving you patience. He's not freeing you from any of that, but He's going to give you opportunities to be patient. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you opportunities to better yourself. He's just not going to do everything for you. Just because we say, give it all to God, that doesn't mean don't work hard. That doesn't mean don't help yourself. He's giving you opportunities to see if you're being the better person for yourself. So don't think, oh, well, God didn't clear this temptation from my head, so He's not working in my life. Yes, He is. He gave you an opportunity to stop that temptation, but you have free will. Exactly. We all do. We're the ones who are putting sin in our life. We're the ones that is accepting the dealings of the devil. Mm-hmm. We're doing that to ourselves, so don't think it's God, because it's not.
You have to make it a routine to pray for peace. Pray for love, pray for patience, pray for forgiveness, and pray for others. Make it a routine to do that because you will see the fruit that comes with it. It's not going to happen instantly overnight. It's something that you have to continuously pray for because you actually want to see this happen. Mm-hmm. And as an example, like, I realized that, you know, I'm not always the most patient person. And that sometimes I can be really quick to, you know, being frustrated. And I just got so fed up with that being who I was as a person because it never made me feel good. Mm-hmm. And so I specifically, like, I spent a lot of time talking to God in my car on my commute home from work. And I was specifically, like, letting Him know, like, I felt so much shame from, like, how quick I am to be frustrated when I talk about how much we should be having grace. Like, I was ashamed of myself and I wanted it gone. And so I spent a lot of time with God and I was like, God, please show me patience. Please, like, show me how to be graceful, not in just my words, but also my actions, or even just, like, my thoughts. Because, you know, sometimes I can ask for patience and I can show grace, mm-hmm. but in my head, am I showing grace? No.
In your heart.
And so I asked Him to show me patience, and this is going to seem so silly to some people who don't understand or hasn't experienced it, but in that moment, I hit the worst traffic ever, and it was like, it was just timed perfectly, like, in a way where it made sense, and I just felt like, you know what, you asked, and then this is God delivering, but He wants to see how you're going to take it, and if you meant what you prayed for. So this is the opportunity that you were asking, and I took it with grace. Was it annoying? Yes. Did I get angry? Did I get road rage? No. I even thanked God in that moment. I was like, and I was speaking out loud. It was just me and my personal time with God. It can be anywhere. And I was just thanking Him. And I was like, God, I hear you. Like, I see what you mean by this. And I'm going to obey. Like, I'm going to be obedient. And I'm not just going to ask you for something and then ignore what you're trying to show me. I'm not going to do that. So I took it and I handled that traffic. I didn't get angry. And it's just the small things like that that you have to recognize God is doing for you. And He wants to see how you're going to react to it.
And two things off of that. The first thing is, we have so many stresses in our life. We have bills. We have this economy that we live in. Mm-hmm. We have these political wars that we're facing. You have to work all day, come home, make dinner, all these things. Why would you add to that? Mm-hmm. Why would you burden yourself with that extra stress? Like, it does nothing for you. So literally just let it go. I mean, of course, there's going to be situations, whether it be with work
it takes
and stuff,
time.
That it's on your mind constantly. It can be on your mind constantly without it affecting, like, your mental state. You can think about how to fix things without letting it burden you. And the other thing off of that, the verse was Matthew 6:6, and it says, don't pray as a show like the Pharisees did. Don't pray so other people can see, like, oh, this person's close with God. No, Jesus said to pray privately. Close that door. Your God that sees you privately will reward you openly. yes, he says pray in privately, and at first, I'm not gonna lie, I took that as, let me pray in my room, pray in my car when no one can see me because I don't want to have a shot of this. But really, what he's saying is, your body's your temple. Where's the most private room in your temple? Your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart is the most private area, so pray from your heart. Close that door from distractions. Don't let the enemy distract you. Don't let all these stressors in life distract you. Pray from the heart. Close that door. Connect with God. When he sees you're connecting with him, that's when he rewards you. When I was going through my waiting season, literally the day before it kind of fixed itself out, I was in my car crying. I had no idea, like, what else to do. I literally sat there. I was like, God, I'm just pouring my heart out. And he answered literally the next day. Literally the next day. He wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you going to him for all these things.
Like, superficial things.
And you're not connecting with him. That's like having a relationship with someone, or, you know, having, like, a friend or a partner, and you're just in it for the money. You don't really like your partner. That's not a relationship. You're just wanting. Same with God. Have that relationship. Of course, we want him to work wonders in our lives, but he wants us to love him, and that's why we have free will. So choose that path. It's so important to choose that path.
You have to make yourself vulnerable, because God already knows. Mm-hmm. He's just waiting to see how you're going to approach it and what you're going to do with your faith. You just have to be vulnerable. Like, there's nothing superficial about our relationship with Christ. You have to be vulnerable, and you just have to make yourself, you know, I don't know how to explain it. You just have to show, like, how genuine you are with your faith, you know?
I agree. Because that's what he looks for, is genuine. That's all he's been with us, is genuine. And we've let him down so many times.
And
Even from the first, and this is like all of mankind. From the first sin, he gave them one rule.
With Adam and Eve.
And we can judge Adam and Eve all we want, but wouldn't you be curious too?
We've all been Adam and Eve in our lives.
Wouldn't you fall short too? You can't judge others. Don't hold that grudge. We're all gonna fall short. And he's been gracious every single time. He's never failed us, ever. He's gracious literally through generations.
I feel like we also, like, we talked about it a lot in our last episode, how, you know, when you come to those disagreements with people, you know, it doesn't necessarily make them a bad person. That's mm-hmm. not the case. And we just need to get comfortable in having those difficult conversations with people. And it's awkward, and it's uncomfortable, and it's not going to feel good in the moment. But if you sit down and have those awkward conversations, you will see the benefit of it. Because I feel like a lot of things that we struggle with, and I feel like this society, it makes it feel like it's a chore to love someone. Because they feel like in order to love someone, you have to meet all of these requirements. Mm-hmm. If you're even one single thing off, I want nothing to do with you. I don't want to know you as a person. I don't want to get to know you. I don't want you in my life. And that's not how we should be living. Because as a society, if we look to the world right now, how far has that gotten us?
No,
let's
nowhere.
Be so for real right now. How far has that gotten us? No, that's not how it works. No person is going to be 100% the person that you expect or want them to be. That's just a cold hard truth. We're not even the person that we want ourselves to be. I'm not the best version of myself right now that I want to be. Like, I know that each day that comes by is an opportunity for me to grow, and I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to that. I'm okay with that. But we need to look at other people as the amount of grace that we give ourselves every day, we are with ourselves every single day. We're the person we know best. And we give ourselves grace after grace after grace. You know, we can mess up at work, and we're just like, no, Kara, like, you're not going to let yourself, like, ponder over it. You're going to move on because, you know, mistakes happen. Give the same grace to other people. Don't just give it to yourself or give it to your best friends or your family and friends who you love. Give it to strangers you don't even know, because what if they need it? What if that's the turning point in their life that brings them closer to Christ and you don't even know it?
Yeah, I mean, even in our church, they said that there was an outreach they did where they literally handed a girl a Coke bottle and said, Jesus loves you.
And then she came to church.
She was crying right before they gave it to her, saying, like, give me a sign that, like, you hear me. And then they handed her that Coke bottle, and then what, she went to church or something like that? You're that bridge to people that bring them to faith. We've all had that person be that bridge. Mm-hmm. My uncle, and I'm not even going to lie up here, he would, like, every time I saw him, he would, like, give me little seeds and, like, plant it and remind me how much God's graceful with us. Be that person. Mm-hmm. Because it might be annoying at first. It might be like, okay, like, can you chill?
Can you back off a little
bit? Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, I'm grateful that he did that. Because if he didn't, I would probably still be living my worldly ways. And I felt no conviction living in my worldly ways. But looking back at it, what was my purpose in life? To get by. To make money. But for what? There was no purpose. When you find God, he gives you a purpose. Our pastor says you're made for you're made on purpose for a purpose. And when you accept God, your purpose is to build his heavenly kingdom, build the army of heaven. That's your purpose. If you're stuck in your worldly ways, what's your purpose?
That goes back to our testimony episode where I spoke about the fact that, you know, before I was building a relationship with God, I was depressed and I didn't think that my life had no meaning because it would just all cease to exist one day. At least that is what I believed at the time.
Yeah.
And that is why I was so depressed and lonely and hyperventilating at the thought of, you know, one day not existing. And God set me free from that. And I'm telling you right now, that is a part of my testimony. That's something that no one will ever silence me on because I'm talking about it right now, but nobody knows how bad I was held by that, you know, like it like consumed me to the point where it was the only thing I could think, and I just didn't know how to get by day by day knowing that, like, one day there would be a time when nobody remembers me.
Mm-hmm.
My actions, they never mattered here on earth. What job I had, what goals I had, they don't matter because they don't mean anything if I'm not here forever. Like I was the type of person who I would cry and say that I never wanted to die.
Yeah.
I was that kind of person. Like, I didn't want to not exist one day. Like, I physically, like, I couldn't. Like, I felt like I needed to go hug a tree or something. Like, it was that serious. I felt like I had to hold a tree and then never let go so I could be here forever.
So you had an anchor. Yeah.
So I had an anchor. God is my anchor. When I started pursuing my relationship with him, it lifted off of my chest. And I talk about death now casually. You know, I think about it all day, and I'm like, you know, I can't wait. Not to sound bad, but it's just, like, it's not a fear that I have now. It's, like, I'm comfortable knowing that the time I've had here on Earth, it's fine. You know, because I'm not meant to be here forever. I'm not meant to be permanent on this Earth. But I know my life outside of this with God is going to be eternal, and that's what I'm looking forward to. And nobody will ever be able to tell me that that's a lie or that my faith is wrong, because I was physically, spiritually, and mentally set free from that. And nothing, like, no therapy, no talking to anybody else who had that same fear was able to let me go from it. Like, I didn't care that other people had that same fear. It did not give me comfort. What gave me comfort was speaking with the Lord, being in his word, praying to him, and knowing that there's something out there for me, and it's specifically with him eternally.
Yeah.
So that's my testimony, and I will freely talk about that with people because it matters.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. Like, your faith, it matters.
And it gets you through anything, literally anything, like, the smallest things, the biggest things, just have faith.
Yeah.
He's there for you. He can work wonders. He has worked wonders in the past, and he'll do it again. It might not be as drastic, and that's another thing that I wanted to talk about is the story of Joseph. If any of you guys have read Genesis, Joseph's brothers didn't like him because, like, his father favored him. And so his brothers literally put him in a hole in the ground. And sold him to, like, Egyptians. Because they didn't like him. And later on, Joseph comes up in Egypt. And he's, like, a high figure in Egypt. He's, like, friends with the Pharaoh. Like, all that stuff. And there's a big famine that God had put on the earth. And all of a sudden, his brothers come to Egypt finding food. And you know what Joseph did? He sure did give them that food. He sure did help them. And he lived with grace. And y'all might think that example is so extreme, but isn't that the point? If people can have that kind of grace in that situation, that, seriously, let's face it, though, none of us are going to face something like that today.
No, we're not.
I mean, there's bad situations that we face today, but the drastic situations in the Bible, they are drastic because God is painting an example for us to follow. If they have grace after he got put in a hole and sold off and he still had grace, why can't you?
Every passage in the Bible means something.
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand it when you first read it, every single thing that was written in his word has a meaning to it, and it matters. And that's why it's important to try to be consistent with sitting down with his word, because it's his living word. We need it. We cannot live off of our life without it.
Yeah.
Every time that we go a few days without reading God's word, we notice ourselves drifting away because we're not meant to be without it.
I saw this video on Instagram, and it was a preacher, pastor, whatever. He had two ladders literally side by side on him. He had one foot on one ladder and one foot on the other. One ladder was God and one ladder was the enemy. And he said, you'll get to a middle point where both feet are on each ladder, and then you gotta choose. Then you gotta choose, are you gonna give in to temptation your whole life, or are you gonna pick God? And then if you pick God and you keep going up that ladder with your faith, you'll get to the point you can't even reach the other ladder. Mm-hmm. Because God has taken you and given you opportunities so far away from temptation, you don't even have the palate for it anymore.
Yeah.
You don't even want to
reach. You don't have the need.
The enemy can't touch you. On my knees, I'm greater than the enemy. Mm-hmm. On my knees, I'm taller than the enemy. Because I have God. And the enemy doesn't like that.
Not at all.
So,
if you think about it, even Satan never denied the existence of God.
No. He just wanted to be better.
He just wanted to be better. And so whenever you're sitting down with temptation or the thought of sin or the thought of revenge, pride, anything like that, recognize that even Satan, the enemy, did not deny God's existence. And so why would you want to align yourself with what the enemy wants you to do? Why would you want to do that? And I understand that, you know, sometimes we're gonna fall short. Sometimes we are. But don't just justify it by saying, you know, yeah, I'm a sinner. You know, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
No, try to fight it. If you fall short, repent. And, you know, sometimes when we do sin, we're gonna feel shame and we're gonna feel guilt. So you have to take it up with God, and you have to practice every day asking for forgiveness and repenting. It's not something that you do just when you sin. Make it an everyday thing because it matters. Yeah. Once you consistently start to get into that, you're not going to want to have to do something to forgive and repent for, because you're so tired of having to come to God and ask for his forgiveness.
And there's been times, like, me and Kara will, like, go through whatever at work or, you know, with people in our lives, and we kind of look back at it like, I can't believe I got that mad, or I can't believe those words
came out of my mouth. It's embarrassing sometimes looking back.
You have to remember, the enemy is always trying to get you. The enemy was able to talk angels out of heaven. You think he can't try to talk you into hell? He was able to talk people out of heaven that were already there. We're already experiencing the goodness of God face to face. He has that hold, and that he's persuasive.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we're going to fall short. Of course, he's going to be persuasive in our lives. You just have to choose which side you're on. You just have to choose to follow grace.
Don't be complacent in the thought that you're going to fall short sometimes. Mm-hmm. Don't be complacent in that. Fall short sometimes because it's going to happen, but be happy in the thought that you have a relationship with God and that you're not abandoned by him.
Yeah.
And so why should we abandon others on this earth if we receive mercy every single day?
Yeah.
What makes us better than the other person across the street from us? Nothing. Nothing will make us better than the person we're standing next to or the person we have a daily conversation with.
Yeah. And I think a good verse that explains all of that is a parable that Jesus spoke. It's in Matthew 18. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. And Peter goes to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Is it seven times? Like, can I just forgive him seven times and that's it? And then Jesus, this is a long one, so bear in with me, but Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payments be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave his debt. But then that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down to his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay all of it to you. And the servant did not. He did not have patience with him. He went and threw him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved and came told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have that same compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? God has grace with us. Should we not have grace on other people that are struggling after God had already given us that grace? Mm-hmm. He's that example. We have to live by that every day.
We can sacrifice our pride. We can sacrifice the need to be right. We can sacrifice our egos every day. We must die to our flesh in that way. Because mm-hmm. There's no point.
And that's what it means to be reborn. When we say we're reborn, we're resurrected from our old lives. That's what we mean. We're really just putting that aside and realizing what's it good for. People in the world we live in today are so prideful to be the bigger person. They have too big of an ego to just let it be. Whatever is divided will fall. Mm-hmm. If we're not united as children of God, if we're not united as a society, we're gonna fall, and that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be divided. If you look out in this world right now, you'll open any app right now, you'll see a video of people arguing. You'll see a video of people being divided in protests or whatever. It's dividing us. Have that grace, have that compassion, reach out with love. Don't be so divided just because your beliefs are different from other people's. That's what the enemy wants.
Yeah, and he's over there cheering on the sidelines, exactly, and y'all don't even know it.
Yeah. So, like, why? If you really just step back and look at the bigger picture, what is it good for? What is being mad good for? I've said it before and I'll say it again, you're getting wrinkles. And it's not cute. That's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be divided. But God is so gracious and he wants us to come together, but he can't do it for us.
We have to take that step. We have to be serious in our faith, and we have to want to actually follow his instruction and be obedient to him.
And it's important how Kara said, don't be complacent in falling short of God.
Don't be.
Always repent. However, you need to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. If you, like, let's say you did something bad in your past, and you're holding on to that, and you're like, I'm a bad person, I did all these things, like, I could never forgive myself. Forgive yourself.
You can't move forward if you don't let that go.
You're never too far gone to come back to God. Mm-hmm. You're never too far gone for God to heal you. No wounds are too great for his grace. Accept it. Forgive yourself. Move on. And a lot of times, we're our own biggest critic. Like, I'll be watching these videos or listening to the podcast, and I'm like, my voice sounds like that. Like, that's what I sound like.
We're our own biggest, high pitch?
Yeah, we're our own biggest critic. So if you were to, like, it's so easy for me to give grace to, like, Kara, or give grace to other people and not give it to myself. Mm-hmm. Give it to yourself. You deserve it. God wants all of us to have that in our lives. It's important to remember that, because it's easy to be hard on yourself in every aspect of your life, because mm-hmm. we want to be perfect. As much as it doesn't matter in life, we want to. We want to be the person everybody looks up to. We want to be the person who goes up on the corporate ladder that can support everybody in their lives. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, and you're never going to be perfect. Amen. Ever. I'll tell you who is perfect. Jesus Christ. And you ain't him. You're not that guy. Yeah, you're not that guy.
That was actually perfectly well said, Jasmine. And I like that you ended it like that, because we do need to give ourselves grace. You know, God parted the seas. And if you for one second think that he can't work in your life in ways that will better you, you're wrong.
Yeah.
He did all of that and then some.
And if you think, like I said, if you read, and it's mostly in the Old Testament, we read these stories of God working wonders, like parting the Red Sea, giving the people, when he freed the people of Egypt, and he gave them manna, heavenly bread, because they had no food. He does all these works, and you're like, how? And you're like, well, he's not doing that in my life.
Are you letting him?
And he's not going to just make bread appear, like, on your lap. He's the same God, but he gave us those examples to know how good he is, to live by those examples. That doesn't mean you're going to tell him to do something, he's doing it right here and there. You're not commanding God. Mm-hmm. You're not above God.
No.
So don't just
sit there. You don't demand, you ask.
And another thing off of that, when you pray, don't pray for him to hear you. Pray to listen. Mm-hmm. Pray to listen to what he's telling you. Pray to listen for those opportunities.
I always pray for understanding and clarity. Because there could be times I could be asking for something, and I may not even understand what I'm asking for or what will come with that. Mm-hmm. And so I always make it a habit to pray for clarity and understanding and to transform my heart and my mind. Because they go hand in hand with each other. Mm-hmm. My heart could be good, but what about my mind? My mind could be good, but what about my heart? So I always ask him to give me clarity on all of that and to transform me in ways that I don't even understand right now.
And I think a lot of us, and I say a lot of us because I'm including myself, before you come to your faith or when you're in the beginning, you know, we all grew up knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but sometimes before I found God, I would be like, so are they different people? Like, are they the same God? Like, I saw this video and it dumbed it down, but it made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And it was a mom and she was showing her kid a boiled egg. And she said, look at this shell. And she took the shell off and she said, that's God. Now look at this egg, the white part. Okay, that's Jesus. And then the yolk, that's the Holy Spirit. They're all in one, but they're three different entities. Mm-hmm. In one picture. So you can't not accept the Holy Spirit and just pray to God and not accept the Holy Spirit. No, they work together. Accept all of them. The Holy Spirit is what we feel, is what guides us. God's word is who you pray to and who you read, and Jesus Christ is who died for you. Mm-hmm. Accept all of it. You can't accept one and not the other. Yeah.
You can't pick and choose what part you want to accept.
And you can't go to scripture. Let's say you're having a hard time and you need patience and you only open up scripture and you look up a verse to give me patience.
No, just don't take it out of context like that. You have to read that book, that chapter, the verses before that, mm-hmm. because you will be misguided if you just search up scriptures like that. And I feel like that's a very big misconception.
And it's like, don't just look up a verse. Don't only read the Bible when it's convenient for you. There's times I don't really feel like reading it, but I'm like, I gotta get my chapter in today, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But don't only look up, oh, verses to give me patience, verses to help me with this struggle. No, read your Bible.
Because that's not going to really hit you in your heart.
No, and sometimes
you're going to take verses, that really surface level for what it is.
And sometimes the verses we read in the Bible, they're not necessarily meant for patience or meant for this. But God will speak to you through what you're reading, and he'll still give you that message. So don't only use it when it's convenient to you. Don't only pray to God when it's convenient to you. Don't take his kindness for granted.
Just don't abuse it.
Don't misuse it, yeah. I feel like a lot of people do that these days. There's a lot of, and we're trying so hard not to be those Christians because we don't want to put a bad example. Mm-hmm. But it's so easy to see people on social media and you're like, they only looked at that scripture because it was convenient for them. Like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's easy to misuse God's word and God's grace.
That's why it's important to spend that one-on-one time with God yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to learn the Bible for yourself. You can't just expect someone else to teach it for you because you don't know what they twisted. And I'm not painting a bad image on other people or other teachers. That's not what I'm doing. But I just want to make it very clear that you can't depend on another man to help you grow in your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to put in those steps, put in the works to do that for yourself, because when you are meeting Jesus Christ, he's not going to ask you, oh, where did you learn that from? He you have to stand for yourself when you come face to face with God. Especially, no one's going to be backing you up saying, oh yeah, I told her this, or I told her that. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, she knows about you. No, you have to stand before him yourself.
And there, it literally, it spells it out for us. And he says, go away from me, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. He never knew you. You never knew him. You knew of him.
You didn't take the time.
You misused his grace. And that doesn't mean don't go to church and listen to, like, the sermon your pastor's preaching and stuff like that.
Those are all adding on to what you're already doing in the privacy of your relationship with him.
Do your own due diligence and build your house on that. Give yourself that community, because it's so easy to fall out of it when you don't have that community and you don't have that person backing you up.
I think a good thing to mention is there's this song that I like, and I think it's called Monday Morning Faith. And feel free to go listen to it. It's a beautiful song. And it basically just captures the importance of not only having that relationship with God on Sunday. Have it on Monday. Have it on Tuesday. Have it on Wednesday. Have it on Thursday. Have it on Friday. Have it on Saturday. Have that relationship with him 24/7, 7 days a week, even if it doesn't always look perfect. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't always look, you know, aesthetic or, like, peaceful. Have that relationship with him, because that is what matters. It doesn't matter if you're only talking to God on Sundays.
And there's a lot of us that, like, we work a lot. Like, we have full-time jobs. We come home. We're trying to be healthy. We're trying to work out. And then you're like, oh, I don't have time for God. Go to your settings on your phone. Look at your screen time. I guarantee it's more than 5 hours a week. If you have 5 hours to scroll on Instagram, but you don't have 10 minutes to just sit in your car and talk to God.
You can even listen to, like, the audio version of the Bible.
Yeah, like, there's... Don't make excuses, because there's not any. There's no excuse good enough to be on top of my God.
And we've all fell victim to that, even, like, starting out in our faith. You know, there would be times where I would be like, oh, my life is too chaotic. I have to prepare for everything the next day, so I'm just going to lay in bed, and I'm going to have my brain rot time. Mm-hmm. No. That doesn't fly now.
I want to preface by saying, well, not preface, kind of close this by saying,
yeah,
we're not preaching to you guys because we're so good, because we're not. When we say these things, a lot of the time, I don't know about for Kara, but I'm saying this
to myself.
I'm saying this to remind myself.
I need to hear this every day, even when I am doing good, because I don't want to get too prideful or get too caught up in the fact that I'm doing good, because it's not the good that you do matters.
Yeah, and whenever you do accept God and you are trying to follow the Great Commission and become a disciple and be a fisher of men, whenever, like, sometimes I'll listen to the podcast after we post it, and I'm like, I said that, but am I doing that? Mm-hmm. And I'll fix myself. Like, you're a reminder to yourself, so don't think we're just coming at you guys because we're so high and mighty, because we are not.
We come up with these episodes because it's something that we felt conviction on.
Yeah.
We're not out here condemning anyone. That's not our place. We come here to have these talks with each other because we felt that own conviction, and it's something that we need to fix. And we specifically have this podcast to help spread the gospel, but we also have spoken on the fact that it's to help document our journey with Christ, and that's something we can look back on. So if we ever need a reminder, we have it.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make that clear, because even for me, we could be watching, like, other Christian influencers and stuff on social media, and it's so easy to look at it and be like, oh, they're saying all this and that, but look at their old posts, or, you know, like, what are they doing? They're working on themselves just like we're working on ourselves, so don't listen to this and just think that we're yelling at you guys, because honestly, we're yelling at ourselves.
Amen.
We're recording this, and I guarantee you I'm going to be editing this later. I'll be like, okay. That spoke to me.
Yeah,
like,
I felt that conviction in my chest.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for tuning in. We hope that everyone listens to this with an open heart. We appreciate you for tuning in and listening. And we love you guys. And we hope you have a blessed day.
Bye.